Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back to Real Estate Coaching Radio. We are your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris, and I have to say I have been receiving nothing but incredibly positive feedback on the series of shows we've been doing over the past week. And the topic of the show is the mindset of money and how to get rich. And I am not surprised whatsoever, to be honest with you, that you guys are reacting so favorably. And I was just on a phone call, and I threatened I would use his full name, but I won't. Steve, I had a great coaching call with Steve. I think he'll agree it was probably something that will have a lasting effect on his business and personal life. And he told me why he felt this was one of the best series of calls we've ever done, shows we've ever done. And it simply was for the reason that we're directly confronting a lot of the dogma and BS that's out there about obtaining wealth. And it's interesting that unless you actually are willing to root around, you know, in your own head and realize some of the limiting beliefs that you have about, you know, being rich, just that word, the words rich. How many of you, when I say that, if you're being honest, have a negative connotation for that word, rich? Rich is something that's evil. Rich is something that greedy fat bastards are trying to pursue. Rich is something that is a lower human trait or quality or whatever thoughts you guys have in your head. Rich people take it away from somebody else. That's how they get rich. Rich people had to fool, con somebody else in order to get rich, right? How many of you guys were given as wonderful gifts those thoughts? I was. Julie was. All of you, unless you basically were raised with proper, with a healthy dose of financial reality, all of you were given those wonderful gifts of limiting beliefs about obtaining long-lasting wealth. It's interesting, isn't it? And so when you put the thoughts out there, when you confront them, when you put them all on the table, if you will, and you kind of look at them, you see them for what they are. They're just lies. And who cares why they existed? Who cares who said it to you? Who cares who originally implanted those limiting beliefs about wealth in your head? Don't think about it. Don't think why they think the way they think. Don't think any of those thoughts. It doesn't matter. You'll never get the answers anyway. But the fact is it's your prerogative, your directive, it's an imperative for you to absolutely positively move past those limiting beliefs. Because what those limiting beliefs are truly causing you to do is live a small, meandering life where your whole purpose is just to go from being in one comfortable state to another. Have you noticed that the most of you, basically all you want to do is be comfortable? And here, I'm here to tell you that that's normal. Matter of fact, modern brain research, and I'm not talking about pseudoscience mindset crap, and you guys know our opinions on that. I'm talking about real, honest to God science, not pseudoscience. DISC is barely pseudoscience. NLP is barely pseudoscience. Pseudoscience is a polite, classy way of saying fake. Just be clear about that. And if you're not clear about that, email me, tim@timandjulieharris.com, and I'll send you the proof of it. But back to science. Real science has proven that the human brain is designed to want to be comfortable. That's most of your North Star is just being comfortable. And for you guys, most of you, if you have a financial runway, if you have financial security for maybe 2 or 3 months, you're not doing anything extraordinary. You will not be doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level because you're comfortable. You've achieved your goal of having 90 days worth of comfort. That is how most people live. So if you have a paycheck or if you have commissions pending or if you have some listings that you anticipate selling, you're comfortable and you're probably not going to do anything extraordinary. And every psychological research, that modern stuff that's ever been done, is also proven that people are not motivated by the carrot in a meaningful way, nor are they motivated by the stick in a meaningful way. What they're truly motivated by is losing something they already have. And I'm not going to go into a story about this because I want to get back to our financial this is the practical tactical aspect of this financial wealth building plan. This is the zenith of this series. But here's a thought for you. When you guys are under real financial duress, a tax problem, a financial problem, then all of a sudden you have this level of energy that you didn't even know you had. That FISBO, you're knocking on that door. That price change for that seller, you are on that seller like white on rice, aren't you? Yes, you are, because you're living in fear of losing something you already have. The trick is to not actually be in a situation where you might lose something that you already have, but the trick is to psychologically put yourself in a chosen mental state that every single day you have the discipline of doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do at the highest level, as if you're in a situation to lose something that you already had. And then what happens is you start to grow, expand. You start to create a new reality for yourself that really most people will never even be able to conceive, beyond your dreams. Because what happens inside is so much more profound than what you might experience in the outside. You are going to have nicer cars and houses and clothes and money and vacations and health, wealth, happiness, all those things do improve with money. Don't believe anybody, going back to these wonderful gifts that people gave us that are limiting beliefs about being rich, don't believe that more money doesn't make you happy. It does. Of course it does. It's one less thing to worry about. Do you guys remember in the movie Forrest Gump where, Forrest was sitting on the park bench and he's talking to that nice old lady and he says, you know what I think about it, Julie? Yeah, I can probably pull off this accent pretty good now that we've lived in Texas for a while. So Forrest was sitting on the park bench, and Forrest was talking about how Uncle Dan invested his money from, the Bubba Gump shrimp. He invested in this fruit company, and, he's a gazillionaire. And the fruit, remember? And the fruit company was Apple. Right, and then he was in. He was like supposedly on the cover of Fortune or something. I forget the magazine that he pulled out of his little briefcase. But in any event, he was basically a gazillionaire. And then his answer to basically being a gazillionaire was, and this is the truth, one less thing. It's one less thing to worry about, and that's what it is. That's the gift you can give yourself. It's one less thing to worry about when you have financial security. When you've actually gotten to that level, you do have one less thing to worry about, and that gives you so much more you can do with your life that you guys don't even maybe intellectually conceptualize how much time and energy you spend right now trying to exist. And if you no longer had that omnipresent feeling of you at all time, if that is gone, all of a sudden magically disappears, what could you do with your life? Most of you will still want to work, but, I have news for you. The work becomes joyful then. The money that you start taking in, you can start doing wonderful things with. You could buy more stuff if you wanted to, but you could also donate it. You could make a meaningful impact on this planet in the most profound way. That's what being rich will do, and I want all of you guys to experience that. You're in the right place at the right time, in the right industry. There's no reason you shouldn't experience that. So before we pick up where we left off yesterday, which was point number 5, Julie, I believe you have something else you'd like to start, an email you'd like to read?
Yes, because this is about you, actually, and this is from one of our longtime podcast listeners and a great Premier client, as well as a fantastic agent, Mr. Andrew Hefner out of Toronto. He writes on Facebook, things I learned this week. First, there's no shame in a midday nap. Now, I almost came through the Facebook screen and said, what are you thinking? Until he said, I took a midday nap on Tuesday and crushed my listing appointment that evening, the biggest listing of my life. The clients were tired after talking through all the scenarios, and when it came to time to sign, I was the fresh one and full of enthusiasm. Point number 2, I would also probably lose to Tim Harris at Scrabble. I had to check the definition of panacea from the podcast, the one we're doing right now, from yesterday, The Mindset of Money and How to Get Rich. And he actually cites exactly where you said in the podcast, Panacea. Look that up. Point number 3, I think Tim also might be an Alanis Morissette fan because who else drops the words jagged pill into their vernacular? I don't think it's ironic. I'm a fan too. Point number 4, I am planning a first-time homebuyer seminar with a mortgage broker and investment advisor I met recently through networking and talking about real estate. And he posted his flyer, which is great. Yes.
Probably a salesman. Do not listen to this guy. Take whatever he has to say. Email me directly, and I'll check into the guy on LinkedIn, and I'll tell you all of his credentials are nothing other than basically supposed to fool you into believing he's not a commissioned salesman. He is a commissioned salesman. You have to take your own financial health for yourself. I promise you the dude is just going to try to sell you in-house products to make the most money he possibly can. Okay? Sorry, Julie.
Well, they're doing a seminar called First-Time Homebuyers. Yes, there's hope. Find out how and why. So I think hopefully they'll get some leads from that. But the point of me bringing this up, other than to highlight the fact that your vocabulary is pretty healthy on these podcasts, and it's good to make them think a little bit harder, is that Andrew is taking action on this and doing things like taking his biggest listing ever and being more in it. I've talked to him before, and he's definitely making major effort this year to think out of the box, do the things that he doesn't want to do when he doesn't want to do them, and definitely participate. So back to you.
So here's what I'll do for you guys or our coaching members on our private Facebook page. If I get emails from 10 of you, just 10, I'm going to make it super low bar, I will post on our private Facebook page an investment plan for specifically for Vanguard index funds that I had to pay thousands of dollars to basically – I developed it originally, and then I had people test it for me. And I had two different people that I paid a flat fee to actually test it. And they said basically with a couple, you know, tweaks, allocation amounts, that it was pretty much guaranteed to basically get us into the end zone with where we wanted to be as far as, you know, retirement and all that sort of thing. Though, frankly, I don't even know what the hell that word means. But that aside, so if I hear from 10 of you saying you want me to post our Vanguard plan on our private Facebook page, email me at tim@timandjulieharris.com. I will do it. So, Jules, I think we're on point number 5, right?
I believe so.
Are we
point number 5? If you guys missed anything previous, get caught up with the podcast replays. But, yes, point number 5.
Okay, point number 5. I think, did we really end up with point number 4 yesterday? We were talking about having at least three months of hard cash and increase that over time.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we did. I remember talking about, you were telling your Las Vegas story. Okay, point number 5, this is it, debt-free. If you have any higher interest cards, pay them off. Oh, here's something I was really glad to hear about. Something like, I told you this, Julie, almost 100% of all the Premier Coaching members that use UGA for financing, almost 100% of them pay it off within 6 months. That means when people join our coaching program, when they join our coaching program and they use this agent approval program, almost 100% of them pay it off in 6 months. That honestly makes me feel really great. Okay, so anyway, be debt-free. If you have any high-interest cards, pay them off. The psychological benefit to pay off your cards is to the lowest balance first. So always pay off the lowest balance first. That's a Dave Ramsey idea, so you guys might want to explore that. People make fun of Dave Ramsey, and as far as his financial advice goes, you guys should follow it. It's really solid. The only people that don't like Dave Ramsey are the debt merchants, and that's what I'll refer to them as. There are a lot of people out there that will basically make fun of the debt-free life by saying, you won't be able to leverage as much real estate if you don't have debt. And you know what? It's true. But here's the thing, and I've seen this as a coach. I've seen this as a man. I've seen this happen to friends and peers, that too much debt in a downturn means you're dead. Okay, that means that the banks are going to pull back your loans. That means that basically your tenants are going to whatever, and you're not going to have the cash flow if your primary business isn't producing the cash flow sufficient enough to cover the debt. We are not debt advocates. So what I want you guys to do is, yes, sometimes you have to take out debt. It's smart to take out debt on things that are going to make you money. So, for example, if you wanted to buy a rental property and it's going to make you money, which it will, there's nothing wrong with taking out debt where the tenant's going to pay the debt. But if you go – some of you guys think it's normal. Kiyosaki, for example, used to preach this, but he doesn't anymore, is to basically borrow the equity against your existing properties and buying more properties. They called it different things, fancy terms, but at the end of the day, you're just piling on more debt. I strongly encourage you not to do that. Do not take on any more debt. And you'll understand why in a second. So there it is. Pay everything off. The psychological benefit to paying off the cards at the lowest balance first, and because you'll see and feel the progress. Again, we are Dave Ramsey fans. He's practical Christian-based advice, 100% advocate of it. Go back and read those books. So number 6. Now this one's also shocking to a lot of people. Again, pay your house off. It's a no-brainer way to lock in the return that you'd otherwise be paying to a lender. So, in other words, when you have a house that you're paying 4% interest on, if you figure out how much money you're actually paying in interest, if the house were paid off, then that would be interest. That would be money that you're keeping. In essence, it's money that you're basically improving your own net worth versus the investor, whoever bought your mortgage. So, absolutely positive that if you want to lock in a 3.5% or 4%, whatever your mortgage interest rate is, if you want to lock in a guaranteed 30-year, return on investment of that amount, pay your house off. Because when you pay it off, you're keeping the money that you would have been paying in interest, and then guess what? With the money you're keeping, you can then invest it. You will build a safer financial plan based on that than having a bunch of debt. Pay your house off. And again, guys, I realize that you can, if you didn't pay your house off, you can then you would be able to leverage with the cash you would have otherwise used to buy a whole bunch of other assets. And yes, I totally agree that 20 years from now, you might end up basically having a higher net worth if you count into your net worth mortgages, which I don't. So if you basically have a bunch of properties with a bunch of mortgages, and I know this is the way the financial planners do it, and they count the value, the market value of your properties, and they don't deduct the mortgages you have on those, you guys know that that's bullshit. So the only equity, the equity you have in your properties is, should be the only thing you count towards your net worth, not the value of the property that has a loan against it. Does this make sense? Do you guys see how the information that you've been consuming, believing was real, it was actually not even serving your purpose to do anything other than lining you up the doorsteps of people that wanted to sell you securities? So my strong suggestion is buy, pay your debt off, pay your house off. And then what we'll do then is, remember point number one was become a prolific earner. And when you're a prolific earner and you have no debt, point one was covered 2 days ago, and you need to listen to the previous points as well. But when you get to that point, then it's easy to actually start stacking the cash and becoming rich. It's a quicker journey than you think if you just have that be your primary goal. Point number seven, now that you're debt-free and you're still earning, start buying rentals. Pay cash. Okay, now – look, oh, Tim, I can't buy a rental in my marketplace. They're too expensive. Don't buy a rental in your marketplace then. Look, here, Indianapolis, Indiana, Charlottesville, North Carolina, Tennessee. I mean, there's all kinds of places in Tennessee that are great for buying rental properties. I would say Columbus, Ohio, but it's gotten too expensive. North part of Austin, Texas, believe it or not, you can buy properties there. I wouldn't buy in Houston. There are great places in Dallas. So if you, it does not take you guys long to start learning other markets and then connecting with other agents, and then you can buy properties. If you, some of you have never bought, purchased, or you basically have no experience with rental properties, I get it. I'm here to tell you it's not that big of a deal. I'm going to hit on some high points. Your worst-case scenario, the reasons, the excuses you use not buying rental properties, especially ones out of state. Here they are. What if the tenant trashes the property? Here's your answer. You can buy insurance that's not expensive that covers that exact scenario and will cover a negative cash flow. So if you have a tenant trash your property, leave in the middle of the night, your worst case scenario, the excuse you've been using for not buying rental properties, especially out of state rental properties, you call up the insurance company, they go in there, they fix the property up, and then you also have them paying you for the miss what you otherwise would have been making in rent payments. Huh, didn't think about that, did ya? So they can't really, with the right kind of insurance, which isn't expensive, matter of fact, you can have the tenant pay for it, you can then put yourself in a position where your worst-case scenario isn't that bad. Okay, Tim, hold on. What if I have a hot water tank go out, and what if I need electrical work, and what if this appliances crap out? Keep home warranties on your properties. We do. Keep American Home Shield warranty on your properties. It's $360 a year, and anything ever goes bad in any of our tenants in any of the states in which we have tenants, guess who we have them call? They call American Home Shield.
Well, and Tim, and then we'll, don't forget, too, yeah, you can keep their deposit. I mean, how much does carpet and paint cost? When you talk about the worst fear, I mean, most tenants, we've had rental property for a very long time. Most tenants, when you think about, quote, trashing the property, it means they had a dog and you didn't know about it. The house smells like dog. You change the carpet. You paint the walls. Maybe they took the appliances with them. It's usually not nearly as bad as people make it up in their heads. People who have not owned rental property are the ones who come up with those stories for the most part. And but you've got your home warranty, as you said. You've got your insurance. You're covered. Go ahead.
You can buy properties in the markets we've rattled off where you can get, listen to your coach, 10% cash on cash. Here's what I'm talking about. You can buy a house in, say, for example, Indianapolis, Indiana. I've looked at properties there, so I know of which I speak. I have coaching clients there. They're telling me where the good ones are and the whole thing, and I'll turn you guys on to that same information, no problem. They'd be happy to help you with the transaction. So you buy one for, say, $120. The property will rent out, guys, listen to what I'm telling you, for $1,200, maybe $1,100 a month. The taxes there might be $150 a month. If you own this thing, you know, you're listening to me, guys, and you're making, say, $1,200 a month, and your taxes is all even amp it up, $2,000 a year, you're making over 10% cash on cash. Do you understand that simple formula? You paid $120 for it, let's say. After taxes, you're still making $1,000, let's say. $1,000 times 12 is, I know it's more than 10 grand, but let's just say 10 grand. Let's say 11 grand because that's, you know, closer to what it is. That's basically a 10% return on your investment. Now, here's the amazing thing about rental properties that you cannot get from security, for you cannot get from stocks and bonds. And we do still buy stocks and bonds and all that, but here's what I want you guys to focus on. Rental property gives you three things that other things don't. And again, don't be surprised if your friendly E.F. Hutton guy, or if they're even in business anymore. I got to update my references outside of the 80s, I realize. But look, I understand that your local guy trying to sell you securities is not going to talk to you about rental properties because he don't make no money if you buy a rental property. He wants you to take that money that you're planning on buying a rental property with, and he wants you to put it into his fund where he's going to manage it for you, and the management fee is a very low, you know, whatever the hell it is per month or whatever it is per year, right? The best case scenario, guys, you're going to be losing probably on average about 6 or 7% per year to hiring these guys to make stock suggestions, whereas you could do it on your own if you buy index funds. Here's a little fun fact for you about index funds. Warren Buffett was interviewed and asked, when you pass away, sir, what are you going to do with your own personal assets outside of Berkshire? And he said, all the assets, money I'm leaving for my wife, I am leaving instructions to have the money put in, wait for it, index funds. If you guys don't know what index funds are, I realize. We gave you some suggestions on books to read on the first podcast, so now you have to go back and listen to that one. It happened on Monday. You guys with me? Are you paying attention? Do you guys see and feel that you could make all this happen? Now, here we go. Now that you're debt-free and you're still earning, start buying rentals, pay cash, get out of your own market, diversify where you buy, look into single families and city centers, state capitals, college towns. In a financial downturn, those types of markets do just fine. Consider having properties in places, like I said, Columbus, North Carolina, Indianapolis, things like that. All right, now, I also want you guys to add to your notes. You need to start building a very dedicated, specific asset protection plan. Every property you buy needs to go into an LLC. When you buy securities, you need to put those into your retirement account. And I want you guys to look into putting all of your assets into a trust. The trust that we suggest everyone considers is a Nevada Spendthrift Trust. You do not have to be a Nevada resident to have a Nevada Spendthrift Trust. It's arguably the best domestic trust, as in available in the U.S. to U.S. citizens, that there is. I understand other states are similar, Alaska, for example, but Nevada Spendthrift Trust, Google it. But every asset you buy, every property you buy, you should be putting it into an LLC. I'm not an attorney, but I want you to go and research this yourself as to why that's really critical. It's all about asset protection. You also need to make sure you have strong errors and emissions insurance. Don't let any of these things get by you. Some of you guys are in the business without E&O insurance, and that is crazy. All right, now.
It's shocking what that is.
It is. So here's your formula. I know I'm going through this quick, guys, but the nice thing about these podcasts, you can go back and listen to them. So here's the formula. Let's say, for example, you need, and this is going to be true for most of you, your house is paid off, your credit cards are paid off, you've now basically paid off all of your debt. You now are basically buying rental properties, and you're saying, Tim, I need to know how many, you know, and I've told you where to buy the rental properties. I've told you how to protect the rental properties. I've told you how to protect your assets. You're with me so far? So here's what you do now. You need to do some quick math. Most of you guys will have a very comfortable life at that point on $5,000 to $7,000 a month. Now, I realize if you're in Greenwich, Connecticut, or if you're in L.A., or if you're in some of these other expensive areas, it's more like 10 to 15, so adjust accordingly. But for masses, the most people, 100,000 of you listening, it's $5,000 to $7,000 a month. Here's what you do. If you buy five properties in Indianapolis, Indiana, for example, you're done. You've just accomplished your goal. You now have enough money coming in every month to cover your overhead. Buy six and you have some breathing room. That means if you buy five or six properties and you pay cash for them, maybe you take out half mortgages with half down, you pay that house off, then you buy another one. However you want to ladder into them, it's just fine with me. It doesn't really matter. But this is your plan. You don't need $10 million. Or even most of you don't even frankly need $1 million. Most of you only need $500,000 in cash, right around that number. Based on 10% cash on cash, I've already proven to you how to do it. I've already told you how to do it. Most of you guys can literally be rich where your money works for you and you no longer have to work for your money on about $5,000 a month if you buy five or six rental properties, depending where they are. The analyticals out there are doing their math in their head and said, Tim, your math is not completely correct. You're not taking – I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's the concept. Stay with it. Rental properties give you three things that other things don't. They give you cash flow. they pay you. They give you depreciation, usually the depreciation at such a level that you can almost always offset the income tax you'd have to pay on the cash flow. If you don't understand, just remember I told you that. In some point in your life, hopefully sooner than later, you'll understand the incredible importance of what I just said. And the third thing that rental properties give you that not all their investments necessarily will is appreciation. Now, will they always appreciate? No. Do we buy rental properties based on appreciation? No. Do Julie and I even talk about appreciation on our rental properties? Never. We just talk about cash flow. That's it. That's what we look for, cash flow. If it appreciates, great. It will. I know it will, but I'm not counting on it because I can't spend the appreciation. I can only spend the cash flow. Now, we're at point number 8. Now that you have a net income from just the rentals, you should automatically be investing that money, depending on your age, into Vanguard index funds. That's what I want you to do. I want you to take the money that you're making, and I want you to invest it in Vanguard index funds. That's the ones that Buffett said he'd invest in. Those are the ones that you guys should seriously consider as well. There's not just one. There's, I don't even know, hundreds of Vanguard index funds. And like I said, if 10 of you email me, tim@timandjulieharris.com, I'll post on our private members-only Facebook page what our allocation was, and you guys can copy it. So the last phase of this, now you guys can then, you'll have cash flow from your paid off rental properties. You don't need the cash flow because remember, you're still a prolific earner. What I want you now to do is take the cash flow from the rental properties and I want you to invest it in index funds. And the first index funds I want you to buy are in your retirement accounts, thus reducing your taxable income as well. Not a CPA, not an attorney, not a financial planner. I'm planting the seeds like I said I would. Now it's your job with this information to then basically backfill and make this your reality. This is how you do it. This is how you build rich. This is how you actually make yourself so that you no longer have to work for your money, that your money is working for you. This is your plan. Just steal it. Copy it. Make it yours. That net income from just the rentals should automatically be invested in the Vanguard funds. But remember, you can live off of it if you choose to. But 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, if you do what I just said, you're going to be rich beyond your dreams. The money in the Vanguard fund will probably on average appreciate by 8% a year, will probably double on average every 7 or 8 years. If you're investing $5,000, $1,000, $20,000 into those funds every single month, perfect. You're going to be set for life, and you're also setting up your future generations for life. You are. But in the meantime, you've got these rental properties paid off. See how one is hedging the other. If there's another economic shitstorm like there was back in 07 and 08, and your closings slow down, if your spouse loses their job or whatever, the paid-off rental property's got your back. Get it? And then if you don't need the money because you're still a prolific earner, there is no financially disruptive, nuclear event in your life, fantastic. Don't take the money as income that you're taking that you get from your paid-off rental properties. Invest that in the Vanguard index funds. I'm not making any money from the things I'm telling you guys what to do, what to invest in. You know I'm not. I'm just giving you the advice that other people have given to me that I've paid for that it's taken me 2 decades to figure out. This is how you do it. Point number 9, I want you guys to monitor everything. Use Mint or something similar to alert you to any unusual activity on any of your accounts. I want Mint to be on every one of your phones, every one of your desktops. It's a free, I think it's free, from Quicken. And then Mint's going to keep track of your portfolio, your asset values of your rental properties, your car value, your house value, your account balances. If you're starting out negative right now, if you're listening to me right now and you're saying, oh, my God, Tim, I'm not anywhere near to the point where I can think about assets. I'm actually negative. If I write everything down, I'm in the hole by 50 grand. Well, guess what? Here's the truth. I've been married for 26 years this year to my lovely wife, Julie, and when we started out, we were 50 grand in the hole. Out of college, we had student loan debt. So I know where you are. I've been there. I've done that. We have the T-shirt, and I'm here to tell you that there is a way out, and I've just given you the plan. I've just told you how to do it. You guys are in the right place at the right time, in the right industry. You must do something with this information. You no longer can say you don't know how to do it. Go back and listen to the previous 4 shows. Apply the information that we've given you. You guys have got to learn to be so vigilant about monitoring your money and thinking about wealth accumulation. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, which I'm going to give you guys for free, by the way, if you just simply request a free coaching call, freecoachingcallsforagents.com. It's probably one of the best books as far as dealing with your mindset about wealth accumulation. The Tony Robbins book that we suggested to you guys on Monday or Tuesday, the one he just came out with, it's awesome. Go back and listen to it and read it, consume that information. And I like it because it's not overly financial. I mean, ooh, I can't bear that stuff. It's too boring. But then open your mind to the realization that you guys can be financially free. You can be rich if you basically are following a plan like this. Now, how does this scale back to talking about our real estate coaching? Because this is all goes hand in hand with the idea of knowing what your magic number is, the idea with being a listing agent, the idea of having a certain number of listings at all times so that you guys can start having predictable, duplicatable income so that you can start doing the debt reduction, the debt annihilation, which is what I like to call it, and then basically get yourself into build the momentum to forcefully save, and then from the forceful savings, you can start buying these investment properties. Guys, don't try to time the market. Don't try to time the market when you're buying into the index funds. Don't really try to time the market when you're buying real estate. It doesn't matter. Over time, the people that are in the market win. You have to be in the game to win. But investment properties, look, if you can get a minimum of 8% cash on cash and then ideally a 10% cash on cash, who cares what the market value is? If you buy in the city center type areas like we told you, rents don't decrease. They increase. It, no matter what happens in the economy, pretty much the last, 2007, 2008 proved my theory. The values dropped in some of these marketplaces, but the rent stayed the same. Who cares what the value is? Emotionally attach yourself to the outcome, which is the cash flow. There it is, guys. That was my last point. Follow this plan, and if the shit hits the fan, and you still have your long-term basic cash flow in place from the rental properties. If it doesn't hit the fan, or if it doesn't hit the fan in a meaningful way, if we never have another 07 or 08 again, that's perfect too. You've been able to take all the positive income and all the positive cash flow from your rental properties, and you've been able to buy index funds. One will hedge the other. You guys get it? This is it. This is your plan. It's not difficult. All of you can do it. Don't feel overwhelmed by it. Go back, listen to these podcasts, share these podcasts with as many folks as you can. I promise you guys, this is how you do it. You don't need $10 million to be rich. In some cases, I know some of the premier coaching members, you guys, if you had $3,000 a month coming in, you basically would be rich. You know how easy that would be for you to do in the next 12 months to find earn enough money to pay cash for three, maybe four rental properties if you know where to look? Do you know how easy that would be for you? I mean, come on now. What could be a stronger motivating goal than that? Get it, guys? This is your time. Make something out of this. Don't let this get by you. Don't be lazy. And look, let's stop meddling in each other's emotions about mindset. That's not where you need to be. You need to be in action. Your highest and truest purpose, guys, is being of service to others. I hope I lived by that in this past week, presenting you this information. I know it wasn't for all of you, but for those of you who it was for, I hope this has a meaningful impact on your lives and the lives of the people you care to share it with. If you guys need us for anything, it's tim@timandjulieharris.com or julie@timandjulieharris.com. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk with you on the radio anytime because you listen to our podcast anytime, but we'll officially talk to you on the radio tomorrow. Have a great day.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows, and until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.